Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to listen or take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. We're going to intersect with Bob Christopher right now.
Well, we will. We're going to talk about resurrection and the most significant event in human history. It's the linchpin of Christianity. It's the hinge on which our faith turns. Without it, we have nothing. But with it, three words come to mind: hope, life, power. That's what resurrection means to us as individuals. We who were hopeless, who were dead in sin, because Jesus was raised back to life, now we have hope that something might happen to us. Something can change with us. Life. Jesus' resurrection brings life to us who were once dead and now have been made alive through faith in him. And then power. Boy, we struggle with how to live the Christian life, and left with our own understanding, we come up with 100 different ways. It all, ends up just being more self-effort, human effort, try harder, do better, be better, all of those sorts of things, and we end up falling flat on our face, crying out to the Lord, how can I do what you're calling me to do? How can I be what you're calling me to be? Well, resurrection answers, because resurrection gives us the power to live out who we are as children of God. It's actually his resurrected life being lived out through us. So this is a significant event to us individually. It's not just a fact of human history. It has implications in our lives here and now. It's a great truth. Yeah. And I just hope and pray that more and more believers will, just as it's the central issue of the Christian faith, more and more believers will learn how to let it be the central issue of their day-to-day lives. I know, Andrew, you have some encouraging words about the resurrection as well. What's on your heart today?
It all starts. So you say, we need to make it meaningful. We need to let it be central. And I think all of that, for me, it starts with seeing, okay, well, what's my place in this? What's my role in this? And so I begin to see that Ephesians 2 says I was included. I mean, what we're celebrating this weekend is that, hey, you as a believer, you out there, all of us in Christ, hey, you were included. You were included in the resurrection. You were raised with Christ. Born again is not a political term. I mean, we've become numb to it. People say, oh, he's a born again, she's a born again, he's a born again conservative, blah, blah, blah. And we almost become numb to that idea. But born again is pretty miraculous. I mean, we hunt for miracles and chase after miracles. Well, what we're saying is, hey, Christian, you've had a miracle happen in your life. You've been born again. And that means you're born of God's Spirit. Now, if God's Spirit gives birth to you, what does that make you? Well, you're a child, literally, and actually a child of God, a child of his Spirit. So Luke 20 says you're a child of the resurrection. That's pretty out there. And so we're celebrating something that's not just about Jesus. Fortunately, Jesus included us in this. And I have to see that, because otherwise I'm just sort of waiting for resurrection later with my new body. I'm waiting for heaven. I'm excited about all that. And that's wonderful. But hey, what we're saying today on Basic Gospel is that right here, right now, if you're in Christ, then you have already participated in a resurrection. You are literally and actually resurrected and new at the core.
Yes, indeed. And one thing that hits me and strikes me is this idea of resurrection just on its own. It's a crazy notion, isn't it? And mm-hmm. And when you look at all the critics of Christianity, all the skeptics, all of those who, just loudly object to the Christian story, it's always the resurrection that they put front and center and say, how can you believe such nonsense as that? How can you believe that somebody who was dead has come back to life and is different and is going to live forever? How can you believe that? And it is a crazy notion, but it's the heart and soul of the Christian belief, as it talks about in Romans 10, that we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. It takes a miracle of God for that faith, that true belief in resurrection, to hit our hearts and for us to truly be born again and made alive. And I think, you know, within the Christian world, within the church itself, there are folks that say that Jesus was raised from the dead, but when pressed about, you know, the genuineness of that belief, I think they're going to raise some doubts and say, I'm not sure. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of way out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there is some other crazy stuff. I mean, I just want us Christians to take 60 seconds to survey what we believe. I mean, we believe that God spoke the world into existence. Well, that's some powerful and crazy stuff. If you believe in a creator who spoke this world into existence, and boom, there it was. And you also believe that a guy spent 3 days in a whale, and then the whale spit him up on the beach. Well, that's some crazy stuff. And then you think that Jesus floated up into heaven after his resurrection, and there was a crowd of people watching him just sort of lift off into the sky. Well, that's crazy stuff. So we've already invested in the whole idea that there is a God, he has a son named Jesus. We've already invested in crazy stuff, and I guess what we're saying is the life-changing element here is to believe one more crazy thing, and here it is, that you were raised from the dead too. That spiritually you were raised from the dead too, and that the resurrected Christ literally and actually lives inside of you right now, beneath your flesh and bones and everything that you have called you, that Jesus literally and actually lives inside of you today. And that's what real Christianity is.
Yes, indeed. And if you have questions about that, if you have questions about the resurrection, what the resurrection means to you personally, we would love to hear from you today on the program. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We also have a special offer available this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And I think it's something that is very practical and helpful as far as the Christian life is concerned. We try the path of human effort, but God wants us to be on a completely different path altogether, and that's what this offer is all about, showing us the path where we can experience true freedom and life and joy and peace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. It's by Bob Christopher. It's a CD series. We'd love to get it into your hands, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. All you need to do is go to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or you can call right now, as a matter of fact, and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. It's our offer to you for a gift of any amount during Resurrection Month at Basic Gospel. Well, plenty of open lines right now. I want you to be a part of this discussion, and an exciting discussion it is. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial if you'd like to be a part of the broadcast and come in and voice your opinion or pose your question. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, I had a question from Kelly. Says Romans 2:13. This is way off the subject, by the way, but that's where we're going. Romans 2:13 and Romans 3:20 seem contradictory. One is declared righteous in 2:13 by obeying the law. In 3:20, one is not declared righteous by the works of the law. What is the difference, she would like to know?
Yeah, well, that is a great question. And the answer is that really both verses fit together. You're right that if anyone could actually live out the law, then that person might end up all right. But the reality is nobody can. So chapter 2 is setting up a perfect standard. And then chapter 3 is revealing that no one can meet it. The point is that how many doers of the law are there? And the answer is zero. Jesus Christ is the only one that fulfilled the law. So it's not like chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Romans contradict each other. It's simply saying, hey, you want the law. Here it is in your face in technicolor, clarity. It is impossible. It's not just difficult. It's crazy impossible. And then chapter 3 is saying that there are no doers of it. If you tabulated the worldwide doers of the law, you'd come up with a big fat zero.
You actually have actuarial tables on that, don't you?
Easiest table ever to build.
And, you know, here's the reason that it's an impossibility to keep the law. When sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, and sin was passed on to everybody, and death went to everybody, we all come into this world under the control of sin. Sin is never going to lead us to keep the law. Sin is always going to move us opposite of the law. Sin is going to take what the law says, and it's going to look at that as an opportunity to produce in us every kind of evil desire. So it does, and then it takes us in that direction. So no matter how much we want to obey the law in our minds, sin's in charge, and sin's always going to lead us down a path of sin. It's just as simple as that. And when we realize it, then we can cry out for help. Lord, we need you. We need this power to be broken. And that's what happens when Jesus comes to live inside of us. Not only are we released from the punishment of sin, we're released from the power of sin. And in bodily resurrection, we're going to be released from the presence of sin. It's an incredible salvation that we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We really want you to be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk with Jonathan listening to us on WWNL. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Before I begin, I just want to wish all of you a blessed Easter. Oh. Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Jonathan. Mm-hmm.
My question is kind of twofold, and I'm going to talk rapidly so I can kind of get it all in and just sit back and listen. I don't know how familiar you are with the Alcoholic or Narcotics Anonymous programs, but I've been involved in both, and by the grace of God and the 12 steps and my Lord and Savior, we have over 20 years of sobriety. Now, my concern is, when I'm in these rooms, and part of the steps are to have a God of your understanding, and I don't want to chase anybody out of the rooms because some people come in, you know, sicker than others. Some people come in not hating God, not even believing in a God. So I don't want to get on my pedestal, but it really grieves my spirit when I hear some of these explanations of who people think God is. And I was wondering if you could give me, a bit of advice of how you would address that in one of these meetings without offending anybody. The other thing is, if you can cover both of these, is talking to a gentleman after a meeting and telling him about Jesus Christ. He's telling me that, you know, he has a hard time believing in that because good people die and go to hell if they don't have Christ. And I told him that, you know, the word says that our good works is like filthy rags. And if you're separating yourself from God when you go to hell because you separated yourself from your Savior. And he looked at me with glass eyes. So those are my two concerns, and I would appreciate any response you might have.
Well,
on
important issues to discuss, and thank you for bringing them to the broadcast today. Andrew, how would you direct Jonathan in that regard?
Yeah, well, first of all, Jonathan, you're in an environment that is not of your own creation. You didn't create the AA or the NA organization, and so you're really a guest inside of their walls and inside of their organization. And so in some ways, you have to operate within the normal parameters of their meeting, and you've chosen to be a part of that, and that's great. And you're obviously a light and a hope within that group because you believe in Jesus. But just remember that Paul walked into a place where there was an altar, and he called it, you know, it was an altar to an unknown God, and they had not identified this God. And so Paul says, hey, this altar to this unknown God, I'm going to tell you about that God now. This is the God who that altar is for. And so he built a bridge rather than burning a bridge. And so, first of all, I encourage you to remember, hey, there's only one God. So when people refer to God, there's only one. There aren't two or three or seven. So God's not intimidated when people use his name and don't yet know him. In fact, you know, you could see this as a great doorway for some people to walk through. So, you know, build bridges, don't burn them. And second of all, this good people go to hell thing, well, I think we got to get off of the good people, and we got to already begin to recognize them as dead people. See, it's dead people that go to hell. Our problem is not that we are bad. Our problem is that we are spiritually dead. Yes, we're doing bad things, but why are we doing bad things? It's because we're spiritually dead. We're missing life. We don't have Christ in us. So if we begin to change our vocabulary, we don't refer to unbelievers as bad people or good people. No, we are dead people, and then we are in need of life. And that helps change things. You may not convince that guy, but I'm just telling you that that's the deeper reality, is that we are dead and in need of life. And that's what Basic Gospel is celebrating today as we look at the resurrection.
Yes, indeed. Richard, you know, talk about the idea of a God of your own understanding. What is that basically boiled down to? I mean, we're creating something that we think should be God, and
that we end up with a God in our own image.
Yeah, how has that worked in human history?
Pretty badly. And especially when you're dealing with addiction. A good friend of mine has dealt with this stuff, Jonathan, and he said for the longest time he knew he needed something, but he kept doing this, you know, invent my own God thing. And he just kept smacking into a wall. And finally, another person who came to the meeting said, you know, what you really need is Jesus. And he was taken back first. You know, what? And then he said, well, maybe I do. And started into a relationship conversation. Mm-hmm. And it changed his life.
Yeah.
Because
someone outside of our understanding to inject themselves into our situation and bring life to us. That can't happen, you know, in our thinking and all of we can't think our way out of sinfulness. We can't think our way out of spiritual death. There's only one hope for that, and that's why the resurrection of Jesus is so vitally important. But I wouldn't be afraid, Jonathan, to be bold about speaking of Jesus. If people are offended, they're going to be offended, and it's their choice to be offended. But Jesus is not an offensive being. He loves us. He cares for us. He died in our place. He was raised. So, you know, if we just think about it, we shouldn't be offended by him at all. But if someone is offended, it's because they're choosing to be offended. Well, Jonathan, thanks so much. We'll send you a copy of this resource, Resurrection Power for Living. I hope it helps, okay?
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You are so welcome. I appreciate it.
Short time remaining on the clock, and if you dial quickly, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
We had somebody that called in, and they had an interesting question, and I guess they had to hang up. But the question was about how to live the full Christian life. How do we go about living the full Christian life, experiencing all that God has for us in the person of Christ Jesus? I think that's a huge question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And most of the time, just because it's who we are, it's what we do.
Matter of fact, the guy is
let's
call
to him right now.
Yeah.
It's Mark.
Well, Mark, you called back. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I love your show. I think the crisis we're having in the American church is we failed to realize what Christ promised upon his death. He said when he leaves, he won't leave us as an orphan in the storm, that he'll send the Holy Spirit that'll guide us to the truth. But then we also read in Timothy where it says, you know, there'll come a time when the people of faith will have a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. And as you mentioned earlier, when this man turned to Christ, yes, it's Christ, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. We do believe in the Trinity. And there's many denominations that deny the gifts of the Spirit. the laying on of hands and the recovery of the sick, the casting out of demons that torment individuals. Even the Catholic community, we have to give them credit for that, that they still practice that, even in the Catholic Church.
Well, Mark, did you have a question? Did you have a question on that? Or?
Well, I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like we strayed away from the original early church and the gifts of the Spirit that were exercised?
Well, you know, Mark, my take on it is that, first of all, to answer your biggest question, I think we need to be on the 80-year plan. That's what I call it. I'm on the 80-year plan and really the eternal plan. I want to get to know Jesus over 80-plus years. And so, you know, I'm not trying to experience something, you know, incredible and powerful today. What I want to know is Jesus and whatever that means for me. Whoever Jesus is and whatever Jesus wants me to enjoy in him, then so be it. So I give up my rights. I give up my rights to have this experience or that experience. I don't need a bunch of fireworks and have a July 4th experience and then go picking up the trash the next day. What I really need is an 80-year plan of getting to know the person of Jesus Christ. And then when it comes to the gifts, well, I mean, even after detailing all of the gifts, Paul says there's no greater gift than love. Love is the most excellent way. He says, so I show you a greater way, a better way, and that is love. And so, you know, love is not very flashy. Love is not very showy. Love does not put us showcasing us at the center. Love is really about other people. So I don't know. I mean, I believe that the gifts are still here. I don't believe they've vanished, but I do believe that love is the greatest gift. And as you look at the history of these gifts, I've been reflecting on this recently. Man, these gifts, they were to signify the identity of Jesus. He raised Lazarus and said, I am resurrection. He fed 5,000. Then he said, I am the bread of life. And then the apostles healed people and people were raised from the dead. And it was to establish the gospel message and to mark out Jesus' territory and to say, look, I'm the Messiah. So miracles happen and God is God. He's not changed. But, you know, I don't think we need to be miracle chasers. I think we really need to be in love with Jesus Christ and let the greater way of love be our focus.
Yeah, and the other aspect of that is when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to determine things on behalf of God as far as the gifts are concerned, and that's none of our business. This is God's business. If he determines to gift somebody in a certain way, that's his choice. And if he does, it's for the benefit of the body so that the body can be strengthened, edified, encouraged to carry out its work in the world at large. So we just need to leave that in God's hands and allow him to do as he determines. We just need to be willing vessels, offering ourselves as living sacrifices, allowing him to renew our mind and to transform us as only he can do. And I think if we'll be happy and satisfied and content with that, we'll see incredible things happen through us individually and corporately as a body of believers. But we certainly appreciate everyone who called today, and we just encourage you as believers in Christ to take time over the next 3 or 4 days and just ponder all that Christ has accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. As the writer of Hebrews says, let's keep our eyes focused on him. And when we truly learn what he's accomplished, then we will know how we're to respond and how we're to live in this word. Keep your eyes on him.
Yes, indeed. That's great, great admonition, Bob. Well, friends, we're coming down to the final few days of our offer for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, the CD series by Bob Christopher. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and you can find the prominent link right at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The CD series, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount. Also, please keep in mind we have a fabulous conference coming up featuring Bob and Andrew and John Lynch. That's it's called Stand 2014, and you'll find all the information on that conference at stand2014.com. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.